Hello, hello everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is August 5th, 2014. It's Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 for this radio show program on Station 2 on BBS Radio. So, if you want to tune in later, you can always find it at the top of the menu of GalacticConnection.com and just click on the tab that says BBS Radio. And you will find us there. In the meantime, I wanted to make sure everyone knows that we are, are we flying on the implant removals and soul alignments and DNAs, and I guess everybody's getting back into the let's go back to school thing. But we're going back to the point of origin thing on our end. So this is pretty exciting. So I have someone who's very near and dear to my heart, and I know she's very near and dear to your heart, and she even had the audacity to ask me, are you guys ready for this? She says, don't you think they're a little Laura'd out? And I said, come on, are you serious? Like, can anybody get beyond that cute little twang Southern Belle accent of Laura Walker from the Oracle Report? And if you don't know about Laura, just go ahead and check out her website at oraclereport.com. She's an outstanding astrologer and has an extremely unique way of reviewing your astral charts through the perspective of the galactic center. And she looks at the black moon and a lot of other unique features that she's come and brought forth to this planet. I really don't think anybody else is doing what she does. So check her out. She deserves attention. So, hey, Laura, how you doing?
Hi, Alexandra. Thanks for having me back. I'm cracking up on the other end over here. And now I'm going to, like, try to not talk like a Southerner.
Oh, no.
I don't think I can do it.
No, you can't. And if you prevent us from being able to hear your cute little twang, we're all going to be disappointed. Okay, so don't go there. So everybody's probably wondering why Laura and I felt really strongly today to bring this radio show program forth. And that is because she and I were really getting into a very intense conversation about our childhoods. And Laura and I are both guardians, and I'm sure many of you know that. The thing was, we started talking about patterns, and as you all know, we have done almost 1,000 of these puppies, if you want to call it that. And it's really fascinating to see some of the patterns that are presenting themselves to us as we look at the nature of the emails and the situations you've all gone through and the complaints and this and that and the other. So Laura and I were kind of talking about that. And we felt really strongly that at this particular time, especially because of where the astral chart is taking us for the rest of 2014, we thought it was really important to kind of give you guys permission to see your 3D family of origin in a different way. So what do you think about that? Let's just start out with that, Laura. You know, remember we were talking about this? It kind of blew our minds.
Yes. We were talking about the correlations between the work that you're doing and the people that you work with and the people that I work with and archonic intrusion, implant.
Yes.
Intrusion, yeah. With that, and how many similarities that go along with people's lives, the course of their lives. And we were sharing our stories, right? That's
yeah.
What we were doing.
Yeah, we started out with that, but you know, the thing that you've got to, you just got to tell them this right away, because I think it's going to blow people's minds. We both discussed how we each had a very, very difficult or dark parent. And Laura looked at the astral chart perspective of just a couple, right? You just looked at a couple of them, yourself and
yeah.
someone else, right?
Yes.
And we were kind of tripping out, everybody, because there's more to this than meets the eye. I have felt convinced for quite a long time that those of us that were here to take the lead, you know, to kind of carry the torch and bring this transition forward, I really do believe that the impediments that have been placed in front of us have been substantial through that so-called called birth bump, you know, that time in which we're born and we're incarnated into a really whacked out family. We're not just talking dysfunctional. We're talking like over the top. And so Laura and I were talking about that, how, well, wait a minute, you know, is there a pattern through the chart? So Laura, go ahead and tell them what you told me.
Well, there are certain things that you can look at when you compare charts. You can look at Saturn, depending on if it's the mother or the father, Saturn or the moon, and look at the black moon with that and sometimes with Pluto. So it does show up in a chart, and there usually are some other factors involved. Usually the person has a fair bit of Chiron dominance and usually some aspect with the galactic center, the degree of that. So it's really a totality of things, you know, combination of factors that it can show up with, but certainly has shown up with the people that many of the people that I've talked to, that I've done readings with.
And that's what that's where I thought it was so fascinating. And, you know, refresh everybody's memory how you actually attained this information.
About the black moon?
Yeah, the black moon and just the whole way in which you see the chart, because it's so unique.
Right. Well, really, just, you know, in a nutshell, I was called out to an observatory in the desert of West Texas to basically understand the backstory of the new planet in the solar system, the planet Eris. And that took me on a whole journey. The planet itself rules the uncovering of the New World Order and all of the plans and all of the deception that goes along with that. But it also talks about our own personal shadow side. So we have that global shadow, and then we have our personal shadow side. And so these were the things that I started investigating in a very 3D way with Eris, and then eventually basically channeled. I really don't like the word. I like downloaded better, but people understand channeled better, I think. I basically channeled, downloaded the information in my book on the black moon and about the shadow side and what we can do to embrace that side of ourselves. But the intrusion from negativity, as I call them, the archons, I use the Gnostic term because the Gnostics were talking about this thousands of years ago. Exactly what we're talking about now is what they talked about at that time. And what they began talking about, you know, the history shows us that they saw this intrusion coming. They saw it was happening, and they didn't talk about it for a very long time. But then they knew that they had to go public with it, and they had to come out publicly and talk about it. And in my view, I feel that we honor their sacrifice because they were decimated. The pagan population was genocided, and it's an honor. Some people think that we shouldn't be talking about it. Just for me to say the word archon is upsetting to some people, and they write me about that, and they tell me. But to me, I don't give that power, and I believe that knowledge is the power. And I basically feel like it's an honor and a duty to call it what it is and to call it out, because that's the right thing to do. Those people, millions and millions of people lost their lives in the attempt to keep the mysteries alive. The mysteries are returning now.
Yes.
We're all part of this. Everyone listening is part of this. And I just love your audience, Alexandra. I've gotten to talk with so many of your listeners. So delightful.
Good.
This is the way I see it. And so talking about it and talking about how this affects us individually in our own lives is very beneficial, I believe, because truly the way that we affect change within the collective is first within ourselves. The adage of the mystery schools, it was written over the entrance of the mystery schools, it was the phrase, know thyself, know the universe. So talking about our family of origin and how archonic intrusion plays into that, I think is a very valid discussion.
I do too. And here's where I want to present to all of you that are listening. That intrusion doesn't just start with you. And that's kind of what Laura and I were mind melting about the other day was, let's step back and look at the intrusion, not just in the matrix, not just in your lives, not just you, yourself, and your shadow side, but it actually also begins within your nuclear family, the family that you're born into.
Well, it's DNA. It goes down through the DNA for sure.
Right. And I found it really interesting because
by that I mean you can.
Go ahead, Laura.
But, and by that I mean if you start thinking about it, go back to it, you can follow it. Are you catching me, or am I coming in?
Yeah, now you are. Now you are. You had a little bit of a cyberspace voice there. We lost a little bit of that twang, but we'll be good. No, but
it goes for us.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like part of our lives. But I think here's the thing, you know, after a gazillion emails from so many of you that have come through the implant removal process where you're really, you know, almost to a point of desperation, you just want to be free. You just want to be you. You just want to stand tall. You just want to be feeling good about yourself. And you've done so much work. And I just commend you guys that have come through. You blow my mind. You cause me to be humble every day of my life because by watching you, by communicating with you, it is consistently causing me to readdress who I am and how I play out my day, you know? And one of the things that just really holds very strongly in my mind is the repetitive emails of the horrific childhood stories. So, Laura, we were talking about, you know, yes, guardians in particular have extremely difficult childhoods. Usually one parent, possibly both, will be extremely challenging to live with, or they really, you know, it's usually either complete abandonment or it's complete resentment. You know, there's really no in between. It's one extreme or the other. And tell me what you kind of had an aha the other day when we were looking at charts and we were looking at Steve's parents and we were talking about my mother and father. You know, my dad was awesome. And we were talking about your father. And I was wondering if you could kind of, you know, elucidate us.
Right. Yeah. So, like I mentioned, there are other elements involved. Usually the person will have Chiron very prominent in their chart. Chiron is the wounded healer. And so the person, the negative parent, the archonic parent, is oftentimes that catalyst for the wounding for a person. And then from that, the person heals themselves. Basically, this is like a wounding from early childhood or early life. And the person will heal themselves from that. And from that self-healing, from that ability to do that, and from the healing of that type of pain, they engender a certain ability to heal other people. And so that's why it's called the wounded healer, because Chiron energy always comes from that place of pain, from that place of that we are hurt.
Interesting.
Right. So these combinations of aspects that come into play, and as people start talking, you know, as I ask them some questions, because I hear similar things, there's also, I don't think we talked about this, but one other element that I've seen repeat is a near-death experience or a severe illness that was a mystery before age 8, one that was life-threatening.
Yes.
This seems to come up as well, and it always makes me wonder if that isn't an attempt before a child reaches puberty to thwart the mission of that soul.
Yes, I agree. And doesn't it go where pretty much anything that occurs with a child from the ages of birth to 7, isn't that kind of the cutoff point where that's pretty much all past life related?
I don't know about that. I have only seen it up to 8, and there seems to be clusters around age 5.
Interesting, because I've read that from several other practitioners, that you can typically find a pattern of past life bleed over with illness, injury, you know, suffering and all that is usually from the age of birth to 7. And since the guardians have such a significant role to play, and obviously we all tend to be very fearless because of what we've gone through. You know, we tend to be very tenacious because of what we've gone through. And I was curious, does that show up in a lot of the charts that you've been doing? You know, that
it really does. And it's interesting because a lot of times people who I do readings for that find me and then I do a reading, there are oftentimes a lot of similarities with my chart. And I think this is just basically resonance. It's just the principle of resonance in action. That the fact that there is something that unique that I have to say about a chart, certain way that I look at it, that they need because that's the way their chart looks. And so it's almost like it's self-filters. It works itself out that way, you know?
Yes, yes. Now, I feel that one of the big bombs that a lot of us tend to avoid discussing is the whole concept of forgiveness and the concept of truly walking from your 3D family of origin. And you and I kind of got into that a little bit. And it was you know, folks, it's like, you know, when you get into these conversations and they get so profound and then Laura and I we're both saying, oh my God, we got to have a radio show on this. This is incredible. But we hope that we can relay that same bit of information that came through just the other day. And one of the things that was so important to me was to discuss the whole principle of forgiveness.
The principle of forgiveness is so interesting. It takes on so many levels with victimology, stance, versus perpetrator stance. To me, the way that I see it is that a person that is controlled by negativity, is controlled authentically, is an infected person. They have an infection. It's a mind infection. It's a parasitic infection. They are sick. They're ill. And when we look at that in a different way, we don't get upset with people because they have a mental illness like schizophrenia. You know, we are upset with them about that, and we don't have to forgive them for that.
Correct.
Because this is something, you know, this is a different effect here. This isn't something that, you know, was chosen. You know, no one chooses to have this. I mean, I guess maybe some people do. We're faced with choices all the time. But most people don't even know they're having this intrusion and this parasitic, this implant trigger that's happening. And so what we're put into is a stance of judgment and forgiveness, and then sometimes, you know, taking a self-righteous stance.
Correct.
Because we have forget. But this is not really what's going on. These are people who are dominated by parasites of the mind. And if we can look at them differently, you know, if they are dangerous people, if they're predatory, they mustn't be allowed to hurt people. This is what we understand here. But the levels of intrusion here most of the time take place in dysfunctional relationships. When people are archontically controlled, they're responding from the reptilian part of their brain, their instinctual level. And this is not how we are designed as humans to function. This is, you know, I think an even more recent occurrence than we understand. Certainly the Gnostics saw with the advent of patriarchal-based religions that the intrusion was happening at a faster rate, spreading
right.
With that. I don't think it really has gotten – it got – out of hand until basically the industrial age with as we've become more technological, and as television primarily, television is the primary outlet for it, and social engineering in general through culture. So I don't think that we had as much because we are bombarded with images now, or most all of us grew up, you know, watching TV to some extent.
Yes.
So, you know, it wasn't until TV really started getting going, that I think that's when we really kind of lost the show with it. However, back to my point with it, which is this is an infection and that we have to address, but that we don't necessarily need to engage as something that we've caused, or it was something about us that made the parent neglectful or abusive or whatever the trauma is or the pain that's experienced there, really has nothing to do with us. And so from that, we can disengage from it, take a different perspective, a different stance. And when we do that, it's different because we come from a place of wisdom. And that means that we're commanding power instead of demanding power. Because when we're in a victimology state, if we're feeling like a victim and feeling about forgiveness, we're in one mind state, one frequency of mind. But when we view this from a place of wisdom as what this is, infection, we're in a different place, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And just to add to that, if you look up the definition of forgive, it means basically to give up resentment or claim to requital, okay? And what I want people to just, you know, kind of step back for a minute and look at this as, well, what are we participating in as far as a requital? Is the requital coming from our end where we are the ones that have to be the forgiving? Or is it really more of us saying, you know what, enough's enough. I no longer want to participate in this. I'm going to grant relief for the sake of both parties and accept the fact that all that stuff that we've been fed, I mean, come on, we've been fed since we were, you know, in our cribs, that blood was thicker than water. And for those that have grown up like a guardian, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you know that there have been other people in your life that came through for you far more incredibly well than your own blood. You know? I mean, you and I were talking about that.
Yes.
And it's okay. You know, I mean, I think we kind of like, we're almost apprehensive to discuss this topic. But when I see the number of people that communicate with me and they have so much soul pain and they're in such a struggle of, oh my gosh, you know, I don't really have a relationship with my father, but you know, I was sexually and mentally abused my entire childhood. You know, we need to stand back and say, did that deliver what it needed to deliver, and am I done with that A, story, and B, lesson? How many more lessons do we need? And in fact, I was talking to Laura about, you know, just this whole garbage of going through the incarnation process, which we all know is part of the matrix, and going into the heaven 1, 2, or 3, depending on where you are. And then you sit at a council, and the council listens to you, and you go into this whole thing about what you think you need to work on. Well, folks, you know, if we really got down to what we really are, we don't need to work on anything. I mean, our higher selves, so to speak. And if you're in the so-called heaven plane, what are we talking about here that we're actually saying to a council and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go back and I'm just going to hammer this out again? It just makes absolutely no logical sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it's disempowering, and
very
this is basically what the agenda is, isn't it?
Right, right.
And all,
go ahead.
I think that we are so programmed towards duality of thinking, and it's in everything. If it's always now, best case scenario and worst case scenario. You know, it's everything is going to crash, or everything is going to move into 5D. You know, we are so polarized like that. And the truth of it is, it all melds together and coalesces in beautiful ways, in a picture that's really different than what we thought. So we tend to think, even in relationships like with our family, it has to be, you know, all or nothing. Well, not necessarily, because you can emotionally disengage from a situation by understanding it at a higher level. This, again, this place of wisdom. You can understand that somebody is behaving the way they are because they have an infection. Again, you know, you can see it that way, and then you can make your choices differently. Maybe you decide that it's enough. You know, physically it's too much for you to be in their space. That oftentimes happens, that you know you're ill when you're around those people, and so it's basically become self-preservation at that point, doesn't it? But then how many of us don't listen to that, and we continue in situations that drain us, that are poisonous for us?
Yes, and this is all part of the agenda to keep those of us that are very, very powerful light beings who have exceptionally important missions, keeping us from accomplishing those missions, because it's all it's a distraction. It's preventing you from really, as I often say, stepping into your mastery.
It absolutely does, and that is the disgrace to have that. We can't have that. This is our purpose, is to express and to actualize and to fulfill our mission. So we can't have this happening. We have to understand what this is and not play the game anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And, you know, when they say to forgive or to grant relief from some sort of debt, well, that granting of relief, we typically always look at it as, oh, well, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let them go and not hang on so tightly to something that they did that was a betrayal or whatever. But what if it's the flip side of that? What if you're basically relieving yourself of that entire predicament, period, and maybe seeing that which you were born into it's a stage performance. It's no longer providing you any kind of lesson. In fact, it's almost like beating a dead horse. And you know, just to say one more thing, and I think it's really important for us to get a great deal of clarity at this hour with, do we stay or do we go? And this applies, as we all know, there are marriages breaking up right now. There are close friendships breaking up right now. There are partnerships, you know, business partnerships breaking up right now. And that's because we've reached a fork in the road where we must be authentic. We must stand in our authenticity. And if our authenticity involves anything to do with forgiveness, that authenticity starts from within. It starts from you relieving yourself of anything else that is damaging you for the sake of the greater good of pursuing your own mission and your own purpose for being here, being the beautiful, incredibly brilliant light that you've come here to be, because you're ahead of the game. You know, you're one of the chosen. I'm sorry, you are, because we are chosen from the standpoint that we are awake. We are a very small, infinitesimal.
Well, also, if you...
Go ahead, Laura.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, I just meant we're such a small, teeny tiny percentage of what is making up the planet.
Yes, and for anybody who feels like they have a soul contract with somebody, well, that contract is probably void, because it probably didn't include the third party of the Archons.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And so doesn't that totally change the way you see your family? If I haven't heard it once, I can't tell you how many times I've received emails or phone calls or consultations with people that are really racking their heart. How do they stay involved with their family of nuclear origin? And what I'm putting out to you today, and Laura is doing the same in her own very gentle, nice way, is this really serving you any longer? Is this a belief construct that is fitting into the bigger scheme of things of where you need to go in this immediate future? So,
Yes, and I've been focusing on parents, but certainly this is happening for parents, with their children, with, you know, young teenage children, early 20s, who are so programmed by social media and the culture and all of that, and all of the obsession, the death obsession and the pushing of all the death imagery with that, I believe that, you know, people are really drawing a lot of darkness to themselves, and parents having to deal with that with their children, which is, you know, that kind of flips it around a little bit because I'm not a parent, but I understand how parents feel about their children and how much this can, well, just wrench a person's heart.
Absolutely.
Basically, to have to deal with these kinds of things. But we have to remember that we're sovereign, and that means for everything, and that means even with children. And if we are being disrespected and if somebody is harming us, we have to engage our self-preservation. I mean, it is a major lesson of this world.
Agreed.
It's one of the reasons why we have, you know, violent tendencies.
Yeah, I agree. And this is such a heightened issue right now in society. We are learning for the first time in a very long time to say in a group of people, let's say, you know, we've hung out with these seven other people for years and we all kind of just hang out, but we've accepted some of the unacceptable behaviors. You know, maybe they've called us names. Maybe they've betrayed us. Maybe they've, you know, screwed around with our boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever. And we've just kind of said, oh, I need to forgive. You know, and what I'm presenting to you is to think of this in a different way. Thinking of the bigger picture, thinking of where your future is. This isn't just you getting up tomorrow and going into your job and, you know, paying your rent. We are in a completely different era now. I mean, folks, this is it. It is up to us. It is up to us to make these changes that we are the ones that have to make them in order to assist in this process with Mother Earth. And if we don't start strapping on our boots, if we don't start stepping up in our strength and our fortitude, you know, and being able to say, you know what? Hey, dude, listen, you've called me that name one too many times. And I know I'm going to walk out the door and you're all going to be talking against me, but I'm okay with that because I know I'm true to myself. And I'm just wondering if you, you know, how can you affiliate that with the chart, Laura?
Well, for everyone, actually, that's happening in a big way in 2014, as I've talked about before. On your show, the planet Uranus was conjunct the new moon in Aries, which is basically the imprint for the entire astrological year. It plays out through each of the lunar months. The planet Uranus is the planet of changes, but it also puts us where we need to be when we can't get there ourselves. And so when we are able to make these changes, when we understand that we are at a crossroads and we have to decide that we can't stand still any longer, that we are almost being pushed or pulled in a completely new direction, when we follow that and we know in our heart that it's the right thing to do, even though we might be afraid of it, when we do it under the effect of Uranus, there's a great reward and a great blessing that comes from it. It is always a gift of the universe when we begin a change that is pretty much like beginning with an act of power. We are asking the universe to consider our request for power with that when we're making a change. That's what we're doing. And we are making a commitment to do that. And when we can follow through and do those things for ourselves, and they are a combination of many little decisions, many little things sometimes, sometimes really big things. A lot of people are moving. Uranus rules relocation. And so a lot of people are changing jobs, changing where they live, all kinds of change. And we could go on and on about the changes that are happening within society. But when we do it, we come to a completely different place because what's happening is Uranus wants to align us with our path, with our soul path, with our destiny, what we're here to do. And so when we can accept the changes that are already happening to us and make the changes that we need to make, it's much easier. Uranus will do it for us. He will fight us and knock us around, or we can choose to move with the changes. It's up to us, but Uranus is never kind when we fight against the change.
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, it feels like in the year of 2014, and also it started in 2013, I felt, there has been a perpetual kick in the butt to graduate. And, you know, like before this time, if I go back, say, 10 years ago, and I look at all the changes that were occurring in my life compared to today, it's like night and day. And, you know, we're just barely sometimes able to get a breath because of the acceleration of so-called time, and also the acceleration of just even going down to the molecular level of our cells. You know, everything is changing, and we don't really understand what's happening to us sometimes. But with that said, it feels to me as if we wouldn't be put in this position if we couldn't do it. And we're literally being kind of thrown out of the nest. You know, it's like the baby, the baby bird that takes its first flight.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it feels like, oh, my God, it's trepidation. You know, are you crazy? And it looks 200 feet down, you know. But we have so many more tools accessible to us now. We've had phenomenal light beings and light workers and light warriors and galactic beings and you name it, including Father God and Mother Earth. We have so much support right now. This is not the same as it was 10 years ago when you felt that you really wanted to make a change, when you felt like you wanted to say, you know what, Mom, I think I've like had it. I really don't want to be in this dysfunctional relationship anymore. It's not serving me. I've beat a dead horse. I've tried to work it out with you. You know, I wish you well. You never want to get into you never want to lower yourself to somebody else's nasty level. But at the same time, you want to stand tall in your own truth. And this is an important time for us to do that if we're going to become masters.
It also involves us taking responsibility for the consequences of that decision and to not, again, fall back into victim mode when things don't work out the way we want, because a lot of times we have to sacrifice things when we do that. And taking personal responsibility is a powerful thing. You know, I think that Einstein's quote about you can't solve a problem with the same level of intelligence that created it.
I love that quote, yes.
I just find it to be more and more true all the time. If you think about what you're talking about with the 10 years, 10 years ago, what's really changed in that time? Well, we're smarter. Mm-hmm. We're more wise. We understand more. So what's happening? What can we look at that and possibly speculate about, and maybe even be able to find some data to back it up? And that could be that, just like the new Scarlett Johansson movie Lucy, we are activating more of our brains.
Right. I also want to share something that I feel will really be beneficial for everybody, Laura. As everyone knows, I am married to my twin flame, and there's so much hype out on the internet about twin flames. You know, everybody wants to meet their twin flame, and everybody wants to be in, like, gaga in love. And let me tell you, it's a very challenging, intense relationship if both of you are not in sync or in perfection with your growth and getting through all of your own trauma. It's difficult. And I would venture to say that the majority, and I've met quite a few, the majority of the twin flames that I know, one of them has been so severely abused that they're still dealing with their stuff. And the other one is living through that kind of hell and that pain because they feel everything their twin feels. So the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, we need to kind of take the rose-colored glasses off. If you haven't met your twin flame yet, there's a reason for that. And you have other fish to fry, so to speak. And it's important to be grateful for where you are and what you have chosen or you know, what's been given or what's presented itself in your past. And understand the bigger scope of things that at this hour, the most important thing for you to do is to strive to become a stronger, more fearless, more independent person. Now, does that mean, no, you're not going to cooperate, or does that mean that you're not going to try to be in a unified composure when you want to sit down and work on a project for the planet? No. But that's what makes this a truly unique time of humanity, is that we are never going to lose our individuality. And I think people misconstrue what unity consciousness means, Laura.
Twin flames is a it's a difficult road. And it's also targeted. The Archons target those relationships.
when that
type of energy matches up like that, it's powerful, formidable, and poses a threat. And so the issues of a person are triggered basically by the mind, what's happening in the mind and implants and everything else. And so it's hard because the energy matches up so well that it can turn into this one consciousness entity, and then that is dangerous because then the growth of the two individuals suffers, which just wrecks everything, and it kind of turns everything in reverse. And so it's very difficult to hold that level of power in balance. And I believe that what helps that, or what conquers it really, I think, is the spiritual connection. If both people have a spiritual connection in some way, if they have a root with spirit, then you have a place of commonality that you can come from, because that's truly what overcomes all of this, really. It's the cure.
You know, thank you, because you brought me back to the main thing I wanted to share with people, and that is what has gotten me through 19 years of marriage with Stephen and going through all the ups and downs we've gone through, and the agony that this guy has experienced in his heart because of what was done to him as a child. And period, it was done to him. Okay? We tend to, as practitioners and healers and spiritual people, we tend to say, oh, well, you know, I chose this experience because. And, you know, I'm sorry. I don't lie for a minute that I was standing at the council's table and said, you know what? Hey, can you give me, like, the worst family out there so I can incarnate and go through this experience over and over and over again? I see the way in which cellular memory has been used and manipulated within the body and the DNA so that we do hold these painful memories, so that we do hold this painful feeling that we carry from the time that we've been in utero, et cetera. You know, these are all things. I really do agree with Ari on this, that, you know, we're in a diabolical matrix, and we need to stop making excuses for that. We truly are in a very messed up matrix. Now, yeah, we might have originally said, hey, wow, let's go inside there and play. But, you know, all bets are off now. Look at what's going on in Palestine. I mean, how do you even describe what is going on there? It's indescribably diabolical.
Right, so we have to be careful that we don't get into the trap.
True. And so I have found, and this was a great learning lesson for me, I have found that when I look at my spouse through the eyes of a fifth dimension, or even higher, and believe it or not, I communicate with him when I go to bed at night, when I close my eyes, when I meditate or whatever, I do a lot more communication with him on that plane, and it's very fulfilling. So I really want to put that out there. Somebody gave me that suggestion, and it changed my life forever. For those of you that are really feeling targeted, and I, you know, of course, Laura, you and I tend to work with those of us that are targeted. It's important to try to remember that spiritual aspect. That is our saving grace. That is what defines us and differentiates us at this point.
Well, yes, and maybe I'll just go trip everyone out here with this thought.
Uh-oh.
But maybe the trap really isn't for us. Maybe sometimes we are the trap for the Archons. Mm-hmm. Because the way that it happened for me is that I was more of the trap for the Archon. It wasn't that I drew the Archon to me. Mm-hmm. It was that I knew in advance coming in where that Archon would be. And that's where I went. And part of that was to dispatch that energy upon the death of that person, that human person. Mm-hmm. And what happened with that was the earth opened.
Wow.
And that energy was placed inside the opening of the earth. The earth is reabsorbing that energy. And so the ones that are so deep in 3D here and so possessed of in people, possessive of people, of humans, mm-hmm. when that human dies, they've got a chance. And if they can't jump somewhere else, and if there are guardians around, they're going to be dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not be the victims at all. We may be, in fact, the bait.
Very good.
Okay, I haven't really talked about that publicly, but I believe it's entirely possible for other people. It seemed to be the case for me.
Yeah. Yes, me too. I agree with that. And for those of you that are still really just, you know, about to tear your hair out because you feel so whooped, you know, you're just exhausted emotionally and feeling very targeted, do realize that it is a process. Don't you think, Laura, there comes a time where you do shift the way in which you see all of that happening. And if you don't stop, that's the key, if you don't stop asking for help, if you don't stop seeking out solutions, you know, ask and you shall receive is so classic. This is a perfect scenario where don't give up.
Perseverance is definitely the answer dealing with this. You can't give up. Yeah, it just, you know, that is really the way that we win. It is because we're relentless. You know, we are smarter. We are more creative. And we overcome. And so we basically, this is out vibrating the situation and what about we're getting smarter than the situation. That's what's happening. That's what's happening with the solar flare activity that we had earlier in the year. Then the sun was quiet, and then over the weekend, another flare, and it's coming at specific times to enhance the energies that are present every month. I'm tracking that at the Oracle report. So if any, you know, check it out over there when flares happen. I basically look at the degree of the moon when the flare it happens, when it's ejected.
Interesting. So
when
is
the CME is.
Is each CME kind of a different, is it a different essence, so to speak, or is
absolutely,
it really?
Absolutely, yes. Each degree of the zodiac is a different energy, and so when the move moves to a different degree, now if they're sent off successively, then it's just going to amp up that one energy because it's all at the same time. But yes, so that's the most accurate way to determine it. You look at the overall energetics of the day, and depending on the degrees of each of the planets for that day, because it's basically like a symphony. Mm-hmm. Each one of the planets is playing its tune, and then all together it's a composition. But when we look at the time the CME was ejected, where the degree of the moon was, I look at the Sabian symbol of that energy because that's the code. That's how we read the 3D effects of the astrology. It tells us what is the energy is. And the one that was released, I think it was Friday.
Yeah, it was recently.
Yeah, that was about revitalization, and that was the energetic for the whole day. Mm-hmm. It was about, this month we're being revitalized at the heart level, at the cellular and at the heart level.
Well, that's outstanding. I really feel like we need it because, you know, everybody kind of went through another severe boot camp in June.
Well, last month, during the entire new moon in Cancer, that was when we had all of the big push for control, the war breaking out and the border coming down. All of that happened under that energy that we talked about when the Mars and Eris were coming into aspect. There's just no question about it now. We can't, there's no way to refute the data with this, that the Illuminati use this degree. Other things that are happening, all of the outer planets are retrograde right now. And so this means that we're having an expanding and an energizing of very deep and meaningful changes, corrections, rectifications, things that are healing us, transforming us, and liberating us. That is what's happening on the major scale.
Very cool. God, that really segues into something I was kind of burning in my heart the other day, and that is, in order to become a leader, and I know that there's, people have heard me talk about this before, leader in some circles within the spiritual community is a bad word. But if you look at the definition of a leader, it's just to lead or guide people. You know, the word itself really doesn't have all this negative attachment to it like we put onto it, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
we're not
I mean?
So much into hierarchy, are we?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. A wonderful gentleman that I was talking with last week prefers to call it facilitator.
Facilitator. Good. Yeah, good. Okay. So it's important for us to understand that because of the position that we're in, if you're listening to this interview, then you are in a position where you are being presented a responsibility. You're being presented an opportunity, and it's a phenomenal one, I might add. It's almost like when they say, you know, get in at the ground floor. Well, that's where we're at. And this is why I say leader, because we truly are blazing trails. And there is such a thing called thaumaturgy where, you know, they've proven that if you walk down a path and you do a specific thing like pick up a piece of trash, or you turn and you say something nice to the old lady that's sitting on the park bench, then there's a very high percentage chance that energetically that will be repeated by those that follow you. So how cool is that?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And, you know, it happens. It happens just basically by proximity, an osmosis type of effect. The frequency that you radiate, that you emit, is picked up over distance. And so we're always, wherever we're radiating with our frequency is what we're rippling out. And so it happens even when we don't even know we're doing it.
Right. And I got to thinking about the horrific war that's going on between Israel and Palestine, and I started thinking to myself, okay, you know, we don't have any, you know, for those that are like the soldiers, you know, that's not going to fix the problem. And, you know, I've signed a couple petitions and things like that, but I was really thinking, what can we do energetically, you know, other than the obvious of sending waves of peace and love to that section of the world? I mean, if each of us just focused on that alone, we could really make a difference. But I feel that because everything is above, so below, everything that's within is without. It is so imperative for us to understand the responsibility that we have of standing in power, so that if we stand in our power, if we break free of something that's really been shackling us, and in many cases I hear, it's typically our parents. And I'm talking people that are in their 50s and 60s, folks. Okay, we all have it. You know, to finally break free of something that really is not providing us a benefit any longer. If we break free from that, what are we energetically sending out to the world?
Well, it isn't only that it's not good. It isn't just that. It's that it can actually start to affect us and
Correct.
Take a toll. Because that energy, it pulls. Okay, our energetic, emotional involvement with it feeds it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes, if you're dealing with a particularly nefarious entity there, person there, you know, you really have to actually disengage yourself. You actually have to remove yourself from the situation or the person, not even be around them anymore. And doing that because you finally put it together what the toll is, what it takes out of you to do it. They really need to be kind of quarantined.
Yes. And in that void and space of quarantine, which I have gone through, it was one of the greatest things I ever did. It was a life changer. It was a game changer. It was a destiny changer. It allowed me to fully have the space and the expansion to step into my own shoes.
Yes, it is empowering, isn't it, to put it together. Again, it's the wisdom of it. It's the seeing it for what it is. It when you come at that perspective, everything shifts and changes. The whole world does, your whole life.
Yes.
And so we, you know, it's okay. We can free ourselves. We don't have to engage it and continue into it. We can do the right thing, whatever we need to do. But, again, this is about personal responsibility. Everybody's, that other person's as well.
Correct. And there's really no more time to try to fix them stuff, okay? You know, it's really all about, I think we've done the whole, I've got to fix myself to death, Laura. I really feel that this is a time where, yes, we need to face our shadows, but we also need to be kind to ourselves. I feel as if we have all gone through that phase of we just can't clean out our closet fast enough, and you know, we can't come to grips with certain things about our own self and our, you know, that we're not proud of. And the fact of the matter is maybe that very thing that you're not proud of is going to be used as a vehicle for you to become one of the most outstanding you know, sea captains or archaeologists or, you know, scientists ever on the face of the earth. And it would take that specific quirk or personality trait to get there.
Yes, absolutely. But yes, and actually asking the question, are you really in battle with yourself? Mm-hmm. I suspect not. It's probably, again, a mind intrusion into your thinking. And if you look at it that way and decide what you think it is, regardless if you think it's you in battle with yourself or if it isn't you, you're battling something outside of yourself that's internal now. then what happens to self-judgment? Because that's ultimately what our downfall is. Because we're engaged with something that is directly at war with us, trying to sabotage us, that has tricked us into thinking is us, ourselves.
That's exactly where I was going with this whole... Thank you. That's bingo. That's exactly what I was where I was going. Is, are we truly seeing the whole picture if ultimately the conclusion seems to always get back to, okay, well, what do I need to do to fix myself?
Yes, can we maybe give ourselves a break? I'm not condoning any type of behavior that is harmful to anybody. It's not a free for all at that point.
Agreed.
But again, it's personal responsibility. So maybe though we need to look at the equation and recognize there are other factors involved. And so when we do that, what would happen? We would tap into our power. What would we do with all of our power? That we have no idea of.
Wow. Can you imagine?
We can't even conceive of that. And so part of really dealing with this whole issue and changing the world, you know, the issue, is really starting to look at this for what it is. And I'm certainly not advocating people take on behavior of anarchy or anything like that. You know, because that's kind of the way people take that.
Right.
But we don't need to be trapped into these, not just the stories that the archons throw in front of us, Israel, Palestine. You know, people are dying there, yes. But there are many, many places where many, many more people are dying. Why are we looking at that? Because they're dangling some shiny stuff over there for us to look at that.
Yes.
That is not the problem. Human beings are not the problem. Us fighting other human beings isn't the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
You aren't supposed to be fighting any other human beings. We have an enemy, yes, a common enemy, that we are all beginning to understand who that is and what that is.
Yes.
And that a year from now, it will be amazing how many more people understand, even just in a peripheral way, because everybody gets it in some way now. Everybody knows there's a danger. We know we're under a threat.
Yes.
Everyone feels it.
Definitely.
Now we can name it and understand what we're dealing with.
Well, and now we can see the benefits of cooperation.
Yes. And not only that, the value of differences, because this stuff that's happening now in the name of diversity and inclusion and multiculturalism does nothing but destroy culture.
Yes.
Let's keep intact what we have of our cultural differences because it's interesting. I do not want everyone homogenous. It's boring. Please, do we need more targets?
I know. I so agree with that. I remember when I was a little girl and we used to travel through the South, it was fun to go to all the little dinky towns, and they all had their own personality. And now you go to all these major cities, and it's become so, you know, you've got your McDonald's and your Burger Kings and your Wells Fargo Banks and your Walmarts and, you know, which has once again taken away from that individual spirit of creativity.
Right. And which finds outlet in other ways, doesn't it? So
yeah.
We dig deeper and we do find that. Yeah. But it gets boring to look at that, and it's ugly.
I agree. So,
it really is.
Well, so hopefully all of you guys are bearing with us because for whatever reason, we just felt super strongly that we needed to share this with everybody today. So not to segue completely, because what I wanted you to also just talk a little bit about, we were looking at the charts and you were mentioning that you're beginning to see a specific pattern of those that have been targeted, like really abused. You were talking a little bit about that. And she is keeping this data. Laura is actually she's starting to track this. So for those of you that are interested, I think this is so huge because it just shows you that this is part of an already ongoing piece of the agenda, the Arcontic agenda. And I think that was one of the things that was so mind-blowing when I was talking to you the last time.
Right, about how you can see it in the chart.
Yes.
Yes, because so many people, or so many of the people that we're talking with, do have that healer element to them. They are healers of the planet, a healer of the human mind. And that goes hand in hand with trauma, and the trauma that's perpetuated based on the Arcontic intrusion, because that is certainly trauma. Trauma to the body, even.
Now, didn't you say something about the 12th house? Is that involved in this?
Sometimes it is. It just depends on the planets. Usually we're looking at Saturn. Saturn is the home of the Archons. And so if Saturn has a significant placement there, there are patterns that indicate somebody would be more susceptible to Archonic intrusion. And by that would be because of the way their chart is set up. They are more externally focused, and so maybe their sense of self is more externally focused and therefore more susceptible. Mm. But if somebody, let's say they have a mission or a destiny, a purpose to undertake actually leading or speaking out on something, or something where they would need to have that sort of external focus, you know, to have that awareness of what that is, they can be stacked up to have that heavily, which means then they're probably going to face a lot of interference, because they would have a lot of power to actually manifest that destiny. And so that would be something that would attract a lot of negative influence. And a lot of times also, Alexandra, it's the people who have the most powerful charts. And I don't mean that because there is not like one chart is like more powerful than another. But sometimes some people are carrying a collection of codes of astrological aspects that makes them heavily empowered to do a specific thing. And then if they get derailed by whatever, you know, relationships or things that happened to them growing up, they're basically just taken out of commission. Mm. And then, you know, engaged in this war with themselves, because they've been taught or believe at some point in maybe karma, which I don't believe in, by the way. I believe in cause and effect. I certainly believe in that. But the idea of karma I have serious problems with personally.
Right.
But that can really trap somebody into that feeling. And when you're a sensitive person anyway, like most of the people listening, right? Like everyone listening,
sure.
It's harder anyway, because life is just harder, because you feel more, because you're aware of more. Your emotional intelligence is higher and all everything that goes along with that.
Right, right.
So, it, there are other factors here, and we've just totally bought into it's all our fault.
That's it, man. That I guess that's what really motivated us to do this today was, we want you all to consider stepping out of that paradigm that we've been so practiced in, which is, oh, well, you know, the reason that happened to me is because I attracted it into my life. Or, oh, the reason that happened to me is, you know, I've still got some issues left over from such and such. And I'm not saying that doesn't apply in certain cases, but if you've done the work, you know, then you need to kind of segue into the next perspective of things. And see what else is involved, and really see the way in which the network really operates. I mean, it truly has penetrated itself into every aspect of our lives. So therefore, can we not also question that even that which the spiritual community has bought into is not also a bunch of lies?
Yeah, we have to question everything, but one way that we can be guided through that, to navigate through that, is by listening to our heart.
Mm-hmm.
This month especially, our heart is activated. We're called up to heroism. There is a calling coming out that our heart wants to answer if we will listen. It's always going to guide us and always going to steer us in the right direction. And sometimes that's kind of scary when you think about, these are kind of radical thoughts,
yeah.
kind of some of the things we're talking about. And so you always know that your heart is going to guide you. Your inner wisdom is always there for you.
But at the same time, I think that there is an undercurrent amongst those that are really stepping into their power. You know, they've gotten to a place where enough's enough. You know, I'm ready to move forward. And because of that undercurrent, if it continues to avalanche, we have a phenomenal amount of power to bring forth something completely even different than what we've all talked about.
I don't think we've been able to envision it yet.
Right.
I mean, we're working towards the solution, no question about that. Correction's happening, things are rectifying, a new natural order is emerging as the other dissolves, as the old one based on hierarchy dissolves. So, yes, but we bridge it, right? We're bridging into that. And that's what's hopeful and exciting. Isn't it kind of nice that we don't know what it's going to look like? Because isn't it more fun to see something brand new?
Oh, it's really exciting. And you know, I wanted to bring forth a piece of information that came to me over the weekend. And this woman said, she says, well, of course you're very passionate about what you're wanting to bring forth, Alexander, because, you know, you're traveling from the future. And you've already seen the earth ascend, and you've also seen the earth be destroyed. And you've come here because you want to make sure that that never happens again. Now, I'm just one of a gazillion of us that are carrying that passion. But if we all were 100% in that passion, if we were all 100% in our destiny, like allowing that space to unfold, this game would be over, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? So I started thinking about, okay, well, what's preventing people from stepping into their passion? You know, what is it that's preventing people from really getting their own internal guidance system? And I had a conversation with a friend the other day, and she was feeling really down, and, you know, there were issues coming up. And I said, you know, I don't know if this helps, but, you know, I've pretty much gone the gamut. You know, I've done every possible type of healing almost, you know, out there to get myself back together again. And one of the most profound things that I realized was in one session that I did with myofascia work, I went into this severe plummet of I just wanted to commit suicide. And that was so unlike me. This was a couple of years ago. And I sat with it. And I was like very uncomfortable, and I was very sad, and I was very depressed. And I kept saying, where did this come from? This is out of left field. You know, I don't understand what. And I recognized within 24 hours that it wasn't my stuff. It was cellular memory that I had held during the time in utero of the conditions and experiences my mother was holding.
Right. And, you know, we could probably even track that, looking at your chart at that time, to see what the influences were. Because this is the way that it works. It doesn't just happen at random. It is triggered energetically. I mean, that's the way trauma works. Something triggers it and it brings it back to us. We think it's happening all over again. Okay, so you were reliving that trauma in the moment. That's how it works. Those trauma memories are stored very deeply in the brain. And they're accessed by senses, by the five senses, and extra ones too. So we can look at, you probably were having a specific transit that triggered that. And that's another way that knowledge is power, because we always think, oh, it's just oh, I'm just, you know, what's going on? I'm, you know, upset now. But we don't really understand, most people don't understand that, yeah, astrology tells us, it shows us why there's a proclivity at times for those things to happen. And then when we know what those are about, if we know them in advance, we can see it coming, and then we can work with it in a little bit different way. And it's very empowering because, you know, some people will just think, it's me, again, going back to I'm weak, I suck, you know, there's something about me that, you know, I'm not doing right, I'm not fulfilling my mission or whatever.
Correct.
And it's not that. There is a reason for it, I guarantee you.
Yeah, you know, we're walking around in one big cesspool of impediments, and it's not an easy, you know, it's not easy right now. I know for a lot of people that are really trying to just make their way to a freer, lighter, you know, sense of reality, it's very challenging. And it, yet at the same time, what I'm saying is, just what if you got up tomorrow and you truly were willing to just trash every belief system you have and be open to a whole new set of them? What would happen?
When we clear out space, amazing things happen. This month is very important in that it strengthens us and it prompts us to take a leap of faith instead of standing still, to move forward. This is what we want. This is growth. This is evolution. This is ascension, movement. Any little one little thing that we can do to shift that perspective is the beginning of a whole ripple.
Yeah.
And so don't be overwhelmed. It may just be one little change that you make, a very, very simple one, that or a way that you choose to begin considering something in a different light and maybe not so much punishment of ourselves with it. That little effect, just think about the change that that could make just by starting to recognize there's a third factor involved here.
Right.
We've got spirit, right, and everything that goes along with that, guides, everything, us, and then we have the archons.
Yeah, and the more that we're realistic about it and not going into, oh, God, that's so polarized. Well, guess what? We're in a negative polarity matrix. Period. We are functioning, we are surviving, and we are living in a negative polarity matrix.
At the same time, right, we are living in a beautiful matrix also, right alongside it.
Correct. But it,
yeah.
But the polarity is there.
No doubt about that.
That's why we're here. So, you know, this is what I'm trying to say is that's another sentence that you hear at a lot of, like, spiritual groups. It's like, oh, that's such polarity thinking. Well, yeah, because it does exist. Now, does that mean, you know, you hang on to the negative? No. But you just are aware of it. You're vigilant. You're conscientious to give all space and all time recognition, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and holding both of them, really, you know, we're holding the matrix in place so that it doesn't really just, you know, spin out into total chaos, because we are doing that. We are still grounded within that to some degree,
right,
as it dissolves. And then as a new picture emerges. You know, one thing I don't ever want anyone to mistake and think that archons are more powerful or be fearful about this. This is not the case.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes. And there, as you know, as I'm sure all of your listeners and readers of the site know, are definite things you can do. Just putting a seal of protection around yourself works wonders. There are many different ways you can do that. I prefer using the medicine wheel of protection, which is listed on my site. It's a method of basically engaging and connecting with the earth, with the sky, and forming a sphere around yourself. And you can do it anytime, and it takes about 20 seconds, and it's highly, highly effective. So that's what I do. Everyone has their own thing that they do, but this is so powerful. The things that we do for ourselves to counter this. It just is not more powerful than us. It isn't at all. We are so much more powerful than this force. The only reason that it is like this is because of deception and illusion. As that cracks, it's all over with.
Well, you know what? The numbers speak for themselves. They just put an article out a couple days ago that there were 800 billion archons compared to like 8 billion people.
Oh, right. Yes. Swarms.
Right. And I thought, okay, well, what is that showing me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's showing me that they have to have a lot more of them to bring us down. And they haven't. They have not succeeded. In fact, we are gaining, you know, we are regaining our ground.
Basically. Yes. And this is all we see. This is why we see all everything kind of coming unraveled. And as they go for broke with everything, because that's what they have to do now. That's where we're at. And so, okay, this is the way it is. And this, then it will be better. And so, yes, it is hard right now. Yes, we're going to undergo change. And by the way, yes, beginning September 24th, we're going to have another month like we had in July.
Oh boy.
So, but that will, you know, there's so much positive in place. Next month, during the month of September, the Sabian symbol is two guardian angels bringing protection.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes. And then when we come to the Libra cycle, September 24th, the Sabian symbol is the light of the sixth race transmuted to the seventh.
Wow.
So what we began in Aries, at the new moon in Aries, with the ruler of a nation, and now we see all of the factions of the cabal vying for power as the ruler of not the nation, but the globe, mm-hmm. going for broke. And what we find now, as we come to the midpoint, is that not only humanity, but the benefactors and the friends of humanity are on the rise. Totally different game now.
Nice. I love the way you see that through the chart. Now, do you feel that between September and December, is this kind of all bets are off to get prepared for a radical jump in consciousness in 2015?
I think there will be radical jump in consciousness, yes. I think that it's really good to get ready for a lot of things. I think that that month, basically September 24th until the next new moon comes in on the October 23rd, that's the big month that I'm really watching, and then starting December 21st, the month after that, which is the Capricorn cycle. Those are the 2 months where the biggest change is going to come in, just like we saw this past month. And I just want to encourage everybody to get healthy and get your immunity up. I think we're really going to need it.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Yes, and again, that gets back to, we have the awareness to see what's ahead of us. And it's important that we understand the incredible positions that we've been placed in. You know, and with that awareness, I do feel there's a responsibility if you feel that you're part of, you know, this mass consciousness.
Yes, and part of the creation, I call it the second renaissance. That's truly the way that I see it. It's the way that it's been explained to me. It is a dark time. There's no question about it. It's called the Kali Yuga for a reason. It's, you know, the end times. It's certainly that. And it's insanity. I mean, every up is down. Everything is backwards. But that is not the end of the story. We're not at 0 point option again. You know, again, like, you know, best case, worst case scenario. You know, yeah, it will be difficult. You know, it's a birthing process. But it doesn't mean that it's all going to be, you know, only the negative stuff. It isn't that at all.
Well, aren't we already really going through that? I mean, if you look,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that if you look at, you know, the prices of food, the layoffs of jobs, you know, the incredible, you know, it's very sad to see the atrocities around the world. And I think more so now than ever before, because we are all becoming so much more connected. And we're feeling so much more, I'm not going to say helpless, but we're just feeling like, gosh, I know I'm a powerful, energetic being, you know, why can't this stop?
Yes, well, that's it's a process, and it's going to take some time to rectify, but we have so much help.
Yeah,
you know?
We do. Definitely.
And, you know, this isn't certainly just us in it alone, not at all. And we're aligned with the planet. And when we are aligned that way, you know, we're invincible already. Any other help is truly wonderful.
Well, now, Laura, you were saying September 24th is, you know, kind of the beginning of the month that you're really keeping an eye on. Now, how does the fall time frame differ from, you know, January through August?
Right. Well, this is basically, if you could think of a month that was like a month-long full moon, that's what that month is like. Okay, so what we start off in astrology is the new moon is in Aries. That's the new year, the new moon in Aries. And that's like, that whole month is like a new moon. It's like one whole new moon. One month-long new moon. Well, now we come to the halfway point when we come to the new moon in Libra. And that is that we come to like the full moon phase of the year. It's the fullest expression of everything. So everything that was seeded, intended, put into place, planned in the new moon in Aries, which was March 30th, it was basically the month of April. And also the month of May, because we had two of those. We had 2 months that were basically like long, month-long new moons. It's the time when we seed intentions. And this is what the Cabal did. They know this. They know how the earth magic works. And so they had plans. And then they began implementing them at the Cancer cycle, because that's like a 90-degree turn. We get there. And then when we come to the Libra cycle, we turn 90 degrees again, which means we're 180 degrees from where we started. So it's full. It's like a full phase. It's opposition. It's full moon. And so one of the things that was in place at that new moon in Aries was what we call a mystic rectangle in astrology. The way that I have been instructed about mystic rectangles is that they're basically like a wormhole in time, and you can and go back and forth. And so they were basically, the archons have been seeding at that time during April, planning for October, but they can travel back and forth in time to manipulate things and change the chessboard, so to speak.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, and so when we, so that Libra, you know, October is, you know, we always have the October surprise, right?
Right.
You know, some bigger than others, but that's why they do that in October. There are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of esoteric magic and occultism in place during October with different things anyway, with the Knights Templar on the Friday the 13th, all of that energy and the Halloween energy, everything that goes along with it, and what it was originally intended to be, you know, in pagan days is certainly different from now, but it's that time of the year when it's the fullest amount of power. It's the brightest light and therefore shines the most light on darkness. And so that's why it's the most active.
Wow. So, you know, basically from September 24th through October 23rd, that would be prime time for example, like the stock market to crash.
Yes, it would be a stock. It could be a stock market crash. The implementation of SDR, you know, for currency, the change with that. It could really just kind of be anything. But certainly, financial stuff has been a favored thing in October historically.
Interesting.
So that it gets imprinted. You see, this energy imprints, and every year it's the same thing over and over again.
Good point. Well, and of course, this could be flipped around, where it's the new financial system maybe springboarding.
Right, because the symbol, the Sabian symbol, is the light of the sixth race transmuted to the seventh. And so that's about carrying something forward, right? Maybe an agenda or a lineage or an idea even, or a soul, anything like that. And so, yeah, you know, it can go either way.
Wow.
That's the thing about the symbols and about astrology and energy in general. It has the positive, negative, and neutral.
God, this is a fascinating time to be alive. I mean, it just blows my mind. So what about the month of August? Is this just kind of, you said this is just a month of revitalization. Are we being given a time of second wind, so to speak?
It is. It's revitalization and rejuvenation, and it's also about it. It's a time of coming together. The Sabian symbol is rock formations tower over a deep canyon. But the other energetics with the other planets and the degrees that they're at make it more like a ring of singing stones bridging across a gap of chaos. And so it's very much about being very solid and grounded with the earth and with the bedrock of the earth, you know, being very, very rooted and in place. But the imagery of it also talks about being able to bridge the gap, to take a leap of faith. And so we are being put in a position to where we can move forward with something. You know, I talked about how in the Libra new moon is like a month-long full moon phase.
Wow.
Well, right now we're in a month-long first quarter moon phase. And during first quarter moon phases, the energy is to step out and take action. And this follows the cycle of life. The moon phases are a description of the cycle of life. And so at first quarter, we step out and we take action and we go out on branches and do dances and we do different things. That's where we're being led. Stopping mid-form is not good. You know, it's standing still to regenerate yourself and revitalize yourself is excellent. But if you're standing still when something's trying to push you somewhere else, that's not going to be good because that's just going to kind of tend to crack up the rock.
Mm-hmm.
It would reverberate.
Yeah, it's like you're not going in the direction that you're being kind of nudged to go in.
Yes, right. And so the force of that would just shatter. And so this is why, you know, we have to move. We have to change. I've said it so many times since before we started, you know, this astrological year. We must change. We must learn how to shift. It's the process of life. It doesn't mean it's going to be bad. Change does not mean bad. And we say it all the time, too. You know, this situation is, we win. We have already won.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to know that.
Yeah, it's like it has to be in our knowing, like in our gut.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So we have two guardian angels bringing protection next month.
Very cool.
And so, you know, this is where this drives, and we follow it this way, and it keeps us sane and stable. It works.
Very cool. Yeah, because there's such an accelerated amount of change that, you know, we're not obviously accustomed to this, that there's just a tremendous amount of assimilation going on. You know, it's like the moment that you think you're getting a break, you know, more comes in.
right. And I think that's the stellar activation of the brain.
Mm.
More and more of the brain is being activated.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that you're saying that the quarter moon is a time of action. So is there such a thing as, like, when it's like a half moon?
Between the first quarter phase and the full phase is the gibbous phase. And that's what we will have during the month of most of September, beginning August 25th and lasting until September 23rd. That's a gibbous, that's like a month-long gibbous phase. Gibbous phase is magical. It is, people who are born under the gibbous phase of the moon can just manifest things out with very little effort. Just things magically happen for them. I wish I was born under that phase. But it's very much about trust and having faith in a higher plan, in the universe, you know, in something higher than ourselves. But we attach to magical ideas in our imagination and possibility during that month, during the month of the Virgo new moon, beginning August 25th. And so when we have two guardian angels bringing protection, and it's coming under a gibbous cycle, which is all magical anyway, and, you know, the veils between the worlds are thinner anyway during that time, it's we're going to have an influx.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it's going to be really beautiful.
Wow, that sounds like an awesome time. So the manifestation time period, that's more for, you know, so right now it's take action and kind of get all your ducks in a row, right?
Yes, and then we go back into passive because they flip between, you know, passive and aggressive, or, you know, open and engaged. So action, yes. So this month is action, and then when we go into the next month, that's more passive, where we let the universe kind of take over more and rearrange things and just trust that what's happening is putting us in a better place, because that's what the energy is designed to do. It's designed to bring us to full phase, to full expression. And so it supports us as we move towards that.
Whoa.
So it's really important during the gibbous cycle, during the Virgo new moon month, that we kind of let go and allow other things to come into play and not have to control at all. It is a month that is never, it always revitalizes us in a way.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love the Mahavidya, the wisdom goddess that comes on duty during Virgo, is Shadashi, and she's powerhouse, and she drums things into action, so we can kind of step back and let the galactic and the heavens kind of handle some things. Of course, that doesn't mean we don't continue to move forward and to take action like that, but it isn't like the big times mm-hmm. that we step out. We're more receptive.
So, okay, so you have the quarter moon, which is take action. You have the gibbous moon, which is like a period where you kind of step back and let the universe do its thing. And then you go into the full moon. So
mm-hmm.
at that point, what happens?
Well, this year we're going to have two full moon cycles. We have 2 months that are full moon cycles.
Wow.
So, but it's the Libra one that I'm most concerned about, because that's a cardinal point. It's a cardinal sign. That's when the New World Order makes its moves, is at the cardinal point.
Any particular dates on that?
I haven't looked at the individual dates for it yet, okay. But it's in place all month. But I haven't looked at if there are any more specific, but I will.
Well,
everyone will know in advance.
I was going to say, just check oraclereport.com. Laura always has her pulse on the New World Order's issues, or I should say, the Old World Order's issues, and readiness to take action to create their false flags and whatever else that they feel that they need to do. Anyway,
that's right. I know their moves.
Yeah,
I know what they do.
I love.
I have their number. But so the Scorpio cycle that begins October 23rd. That the Sabian symbol for that month is a sightseeing bus filled with tourists, and that's a lot of activity with that energy, with that symbol. So a lot of things will go on during that time. Full moon phases bring things to the fullest light. You know, it's kind of like the full moon fever that comes along with that, and the lunacy that things get really out of control during that cycle, during that Libra month.
So you're saying basically everything's just magnified because everything is unveiled.
Yes, it has all of that energy, but it's really the fullest expression of everything that was put in place at the Aries cycle, at the Aries new moon. That's when everything really is basically seeded into the field of consciousness, and magicians, Illuminati, and people like us that, you know, have intentions for things that we want to accomplish too, in a good way. When we know how to work the cycle of life through the phases and the cycles, it's much more effective. We know when to do things and when not to. They follow this order. They know when is the proper time to do things, what follows within the natural order of energy. They don't work against that. They know those laws. Or that, you know, the archons teach them, have taught them this, I should say. So we have two full phases, and then we come to the disseminating phase, which that cycle begins November 22nd. Disseminating cycles, those months are about sharing and communicating. And so for the month of December, it's about sharing your ideas and getting feedback from other people on what they think, and then taking some of that feedback back on board, or getting rid of it, whatever you choose to do. But it's always when basically we take what we've been working on and then we share it with other people, and they put their spin on it or their ideas and make it better.
God, it's so fat. It's like it has this ultimate purpose. This whole
absolutely
thing.
You know? Absolutely. Every day on the Oracle Report, I post what phase we're in and when the phase changes, and I always put what the directive is of the energy.
Very cool. You are so good at what you do, and it's so refreshing to talk to you. You know, you always have such an interesting take on what's unfolding around us, and I think we all appreciate it. We appreciate you greatly.
Well, thanks. You know, it's all moving towards the music of the spheres. That's what 2015 is about. So I'm digging that.
I know. I can't believe we're almost there, too.
I know.
You know? So, I mean, do you agree then that the real heavy lifting has been, you know, 2012, 2013, 2014?
Yes, it's been the major attack. It certainly has. And This 2014 is the year. I mean, what they get done this year is where they're going to try to work from. As far as they can push the agenda. I think that the virus situation, the Ebola, I think I talked about this our first show about how I believe that it's going to be the viruses, the bacteria, the plagues, that's really what the false flag is.
Mm-hmm. And it is a false flag, because the Ebola can be wiped out with MMS.
MMS.
Colloidal silver. And there's a couple other things. So, you know, it's all fear porn to get people in a state. Where I get frustrated is, like, how many more times do we have to go down the street before people start catching that this is a pattern that they do over and over and over again?
Yeah, well, people do pick up the patterns eventually. You know, the pattern's there until people pick it up. But I'm not even so concerned about it being spread person to person or any of the, I'm not talking about just Ebola, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's being sprayed.
Yes. Through chemtrails, yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, we're that, I think that last winter was basically like a test, because I think that they released things, and that, you know, lung infections that people got, me included.
I do too.
And they just watched how it spread, and how fast it spread, how long people were down, which was months, how many people died, which was epidemic, and no one really knew. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone listening here, you know, knows that I'm not coming from a place of fear with this. We're empowered with this, and we can do things to make sure we're in as good a shape as we can be. You know, vitamin C, vitamin D, all of everything. We all know, right? We have so many lovely people out there that tell us that what we need to do. Their mission is to inform us so that we can stay healthy.
Well, and I want to say one more thing as we get to the top of the hour. It's so important for you to see your own body as a self-healing mechanism. It's very important to understand that it was designed that way. It just needs a little coaxing and some realigning, and, you know, maybe a couple of tweakings depending on what kinds of therapies. But when I look at where I was and where I am now, I mean, it's most people would say it's a miracle. But it's only because I really, truly got it, that the body is self-healing.
Oh, our brains are miraculous.
Yeah. The bodies are miraculous. I've always been fascinated with the way the body functions. So, actually, I'll just tell you a really quick story, and then I'll let you go. When I started out as pre-med, and I really thought I wanted to be a surgeon, And so one day my anatomy and physiology class in high school had a trip over to the medical center, and we were going to look at cadavers. And I didn't know. I kind of bolted into the room because I was so excited because I couldn't wait to see the inside of the body. And so I just blew off all the instructions, you know, because they were standing around these people, and the guy had, you know, he had like a mask on his face and all the stuff. And I said, forget that, man. I wanted to go in and see the bodies. So I'm in there. I didn't have gloves on or anything. I'm like picking, you know, organs up out of the body, and I'm going, wow, look at it. Look at the way it feels, and look at the way it's shaped. And, you know, and I was just kind of tripping out on the whole beauty of the way the body's made. And the guy comes running in. No, you're supposed to be wearing gloves and da-da-da-da and this and that and the other. And I turn to my left, and there's a guy that he just went, boom, bam, totally passed out.
But I'm glad there are people like you out there.
But, you know, gosh, when you see the body like that, you just, and that's only on a 3D level. That's not even looking at it etherically. Oh, my God. But anyway, well, Laura, I just can't thank you enough for being willing to do this spontaneous recording with me today.
Absolutely. I love being on your show and chatting with you. And yeah, thanks for having me.
I felt like it was such an important message. And I, you know, all of you that are listening, please forgive me if I got a little bit too passionate, but I really want to see everybody out of their pain, especially when it's related to feeling like you have to hang in there with, you know, some sort of family of origin or even a circle of friends of origin that are just no longer providing you the sustenance that you need to fully step into your own power. And we need you. Laura needs you. I need you. Everybody needs you to be fully in your power. You have to understand it's not just affecting you. It's affecting all of us that are on the front lines here, that are really wanting to make a difference and help humanity. So I want to leave you guys with that. As always, Laura, thank you. Please visit her website again. It's oraclereport.com. I think she's absolutely brilliant, and she does phenomenal readings. You know, drop her an email. Give her a try. She's fantastic. And as always, thank you all again from the top of my heart, I should say, instead of the bottom, for your dedication and your willingness to really do what it takes to bring the shift forward through the implant removal, the soul alignment, and the DNA activation. I thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing. And I love you all. Have a great night, and we will talk to you all soon. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great night. Take care.